Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the UT Podcast by Developing Lafayette. My name is Ben Powers. I'm your host. And what we like to do with this podcast is we like to invite different business owners, different community influencers in Lafayette Parish that really highlight Lafayette Parish and what we're all about. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the T. First, I'm going to read a disclaimer for you guys. So all information, content, and material of this website podcast is for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for the consultation, diagnosis, and or medical treatment of a qualified physician and or healthcare provider. Likewise, all information, content, opinions, and material of this website podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be treated as legal advice, nor is any attorney-client relationship created herein. So now that the disclaimer is out of the way, and Travis's butt is right in front of the camera, we are going to go live with this. So, my name is Ben Powers. I'm the owner, founder of Developing Lafayette. And today I have a couple of special guests, and I'll allow them to introduce yourself. So, Jordan?
My name is Jordan Precht. I'm the founder and owner of Precht Law Firm. I'm a criminal defense attorney in town, and I'm a huge supporter of all things Lafayette.
My name is Travis DeYoung. I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I'm from Shreveport originally, but I've been in Lafayette for the last 10 years. This is my home now, and I'm the owner and founder of Cajun Cannabis.
All right, so right off the bat there, you kind of got part of the question, the first question that I wanted to ask you out of the way. So essentially, my first question was, where are you from, and if you were not from here, why did you move here? So you're from Shreveport. You've been here for about 10 years.
Yeah, I moved here, it was fall of 08. So real quick, right out of high school, I graduated. I went worked for General Motors on the assembly line building trucks. I did that for a few months, and then I got a scholarship to go to Kansas to play lacrosse. I did that for a semester, did not like it. Moved back to Shreveport, and while working at Bass Pro Shops, I got a job offered as a landman in Monroe. So I went and did that for a year, probably about 20 years old. The year was coming up on the end, they wanted to send me back to Shreveport, and there's no way I was going back to Shreveport again. And I had a friend that had graduated high school and was moving to Lafayette for engineering. And in the oil field, I decided I wanted to be an engineer, you know, because I love being out there and learning about the pipes and stuff. Anyway, so did Monroe for a year, and then I was like, man, I've never been to Lafayette. So my friend was like, man, just come and check it out with me, you know, my friend that was moving here. Came down here, never left. Got me an apartment, applied for school, got accepted to UL. Started my college journey at 21 years old.
Okay.
And then I went also that same day, I got a job at Applebee's, and I went to Lowe's and got me a cheap lawnmower and cheap weed eater. So I started cutting grass that day, as soon as I got here 10 years ago, and I started Applebee's. And that was just one of many serving jobs, Carrabba's, Olive Garden, all the big places, La Fonda, Agave, Tsunami. But I got fired from every job I ever had. That's when I realized I was meant to work for somebody. So I expanded on the lawn service. I started driving Uber, and I got obsessed with that immediately just because there was such an untapped market in Lafayette. It was still too new. No one did it in Lafayette.
Right, now everybody's doing it.
Oh, now everybody's doing it, and they're doing it for money. I wasn't doing it for money. I was doing it for networking. I was making money, but I'm networking now because I'm Ubering judges. I'm Ubering students. I'm Ubering everybody. And so that gave me a unique view, and then people trusted me to come pick them up, and it was a real cool experience. So at the same time, I was going to school, waking up, going to cut grass, then going to school, getting out, cleaning my house for Airbnb because I had three extra bedrooms that I would rent out on Airbnb. So I'd meet people from all over the world. So that was my global networking back then. And then Uber was my local networking. And so Uber drove and did the Airbnb while going to school. And then after having an interview with some job potentials, I decided that working for somebody at a salary job where they can, I have a salary cap, I'm going to work for somebody. I'm in a city I don't want to work in. I'm away from my family. It's not the life that I wanted at that point. Timing was everything. And
so do you have a degree in anything at this point?
No.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't have a degree in anything
either.
No,
I don't.
But
the closest thing to a degree I have is when I went to Oaksterdam University in California and took a cannabis business seminar.
Okay.
And I got 30 hours. I got 32 hours there, and I got
a cannabis business.
It's
seminar.
A legit accredited cannabis school. California's been doing it.
You've heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow!
California's been doing it for 30 years. It's a sit-down, legit classroom where they bring in experts on different topics: legal 101, cultivation 101, extraction 101, cannabis 101, how to own a dispensary. So, before I get to that. 7 years ago in Lafayette, I had a good friend tell me one. You know, that was when Washington and Colorado made it legal for adult use. And at that time, and still today, people are...
For recreational use?
For recreational, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't like to use the recreational word because recreational kind of means fun and... We're looking.
Oh, God. For God forbid, fun. All right.
Well, the point about it is it's the children. It's what we're telling them. They're going on recreational vehicles to recreational parks. And
okay.
They get recreational weed. They're going to associate that with something being able to do as a family.
Okay,
and so we want to use adult use cannabis as the but anyway. So 7 years ago when it went legal, you know, everybody was talking about it. They still are today. But people say, I want to own a dispensary. You'll hear people say that all the time. I said it back then. And I had a good friend tell me that I'll never forget. And it stayed in my head since. He said, Travis, there's a lot more people doing a lot more about it than you. Because I was like, man, when it goes legal in Louisiana, I want to be one of the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Travis, everybody says that. There's a lot more people out there doing more about it than you. You're just sitting here talking about it. You're not doing anything about it.
Right.
You know, so that was a real, it's a real grounding point for me. Because I remember that in my head. But that was 7 years ago. Timing is everything. Fast forward to a year ago, when I started to decide that I didn't want to pursue engineering anymore, I started getting my financial advisors because I started looking up jobs that are needed that robots can't take. Like, you know, financial advising is what I came is that everyone needs help with money. So I was like, man, everyone needs help. You know, it's the biggest market, everybody. So I started learning about financial advising and... Then my dad passed away abruptly.
And what year was that?
April 25th of 18.
Okay.
It was exactly a year ago to the day that I was booked into Lafayette Parish.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Because so this business isn't even a year old. And further than that, my father even never knew about this business. I didn't even know about it at that time. So when he died, I had to go to Shreveport for 30 days and like clean out his whole house. He had a shed full of stuff. I mean, he was a mechanic at GM for 30 years. The tools were insane, and just the stuff that he had acquired over that time. And so I went and cleaned out his house. My brother couldn't do it. He's a CPA. My mom couldn't do it. They're not married anymore. So during that 30 days was another grounding point in my life. It's like, what am I do? Like, where am I? What's my legacy? What's my father's legacy for one, which is not, besides me, is irrelevant. He doesn't have one.
Right.
So what's my legacy going to be now? You know, and that was a very emotional time for me. It's like, what am I going to leave behind? Are people going to remember my last name, my first name? Like, am I going to create?
Or your business name at this point.
Or the business, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's when I decided. And then I remember my friend saying that in my head, there's a lot more people doing a lot more about it than you. So I got like $22,000 of the life insurance money. Paid some stuff off, paid off credit card debt. And at the end of the day, I think I had like $18,000 worth of credit on my credit cards. I think I had $3,000 to $5,000 on it. So I had like $10,000 to $13,000 worth of credit to start a business. I was like, all right, I got $13,000. In my head, I remember what he said. I decided I was going to start doing more about it than everybody else. I saw CBD being the catalyst. So I didn't want to have a business, name it so-and-so CBD company. Because I didn't want to have a CBD company. I'm not trying to appeal to a certain part of the market just for those people. I'm not trying to start a CBD company just to appeal to the CBD people. I'm not doing that. It's way more than that. It's a cannabis company. Because cannabis is hemp and marijuana further down the road. I'm looking to create a brand that creates brand recognition. The cannabis industry does not have brand recognition. When you shop, when you use for iPhone, I mean for, yeah, you heard me just say it. When you shop for phones, you look for brands. When you have vehicles, you're a brand. When you're, everything is a brand. Food. And so people are going to do the same thing with cannabis. It's so new that people don't have a preference for brand. You know, you can go to Colorado, get this, and go to Nevada and get that. You're not, you know. Mm-hmm. They're starting to become brands, and everyone's trying to grab their brand now, but they don't have it now, but that's where it's going to go. So I was thinking, the cannabis, see, I went to school for engineering.
Okay.
So I know how to read a graph. And if you look at a graph and the graph does like this, and you take the limit of it and look at the behavior of that, take it to the max, what happens? If you look at the legalization of cannabis in the United States, it does like that. So, you know, more and more states are legalizing it more and more. So I just looked at that. I just saw that graph. I'm able to see trends.
Okay.
Uber before they come, Airbnb before they come. I saw that trend and I decided, I was like, well, I'm not going to create a company just called Can't Hemp or just called CBD. It's going to be about the market when it goes legal. And I'm going to set the standard for what are expected of dispensaries in Louisiana. Same way that we have like drive-thrus for alcoholic places. I want a place that reflects Louisiana traditional culture, as we want a lounge to come pass time. We like to pass a good time in Louisiana, whether it's smoking cigars or, you know, drinking alcohol or whatever. Not that I want to associate myself with those activities, but the freedom of doing it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And having the freedom to go do something at a safe place. You know, we don't want to legalize it and be like, oh, but you can't do it anywhere.
Right.
You know, that's kind of ridiculous. We want to have a place where we can come pass a good time. I want a place you can come in, get your cannabis, ingest it whichever way you want, and you can bring your grandma in. She can get the arthritis for her knee. She might hit the vape. I don't know how your grandma's feeling, but you can bring your kid. He can play with the toys.
Get
right?
Grandma loose, huh?
Hey, look. You make an interesting point about grandma. Apparently, there's a ton of 60-plus-year-old people that yeah. are your, not your target demographic, but have been the demographic before. Oh, you want to go lock your door?
Yeah. That's absolutely right. The largest part of the people, like as you just saw who came in before we opened, mm-hmm. it's not a young hippie or whatever type of person they want to, you know, make it sound. It is it's either the soccer mom, the parent of the kid going to school that's coming to find the stuff for her grandma and her elders that maybe don't believe in it yet, that's traditionally been against it. Or it's the ones who's like, oh, I don't care if it's legal or illegal, but I just need to find something that, and I don't want to take stuff for this pain. There's a lot of reverse diagnosing that happens. Like, oh, you're taking these medicines and taking this? Okay.
Right.
Of course, I can't ever tell anybody not to take a certain medication. But
yeah, good luck.
Well, and
good
to
luck
kind of bounce off that, I mean, I came in yesterday. It was my first time in Cajun cannabis, but I wanted to see what it was about. And when I was here, or while I was here rather, I actually had a couple of customers come in, and he's right. It wasn't the same demographic every time, okay? They had folks with young and old, okay? They had folks with injuries, not injured. One young lady came yesterday and said she complained of anxiety.
Okay.
And wasn't a fan of taking prescription medication to, you know, ease that anxiety. She said CBD was one thing she found that at least curbed the symptoms. And so just to kind of piggyback off what he said, I think there are other uses here that people haven't necessarily considered.
Mm-hmm.
And CBD, I don't think, has been well defined mm-hmm. yet, or
no,
well explained. And I think that's a good thing we're doing this here.
Yeah, it's very even though it's not the newest thing, it's still new to people, especially in this area. Because mm-hmm. even though I don't know too many people who are against CBD. Mm-hmm. I know some people pretty close to me that had told me in the past couple of weeks that they take CBD because of all this stuff happening with your company. And I'm like, I would have never thought that they would have taken CBD because they are a little bit more reserved, and you know, I just thought, oh, they're probably against CBD.
That's the opportunity I sought to exploit when creating Cajun Cannabis. I knew that it wasn't for just the CBD. I knew CBD was going to be a catalyst to move it on to full-blown legalization, pro-cannabis. And you can see that with the country, on both sides of the country, it's legalizing, right, for the full extent, adult use. So, and there's a blanket of society, along society right now is, you're right, everyone is talking about it. It hasn't been well defined. Not only has it not been well defined, a marketplace of transparency and confidence hasn't been created. Mm-hmm. People, where do I get it from? What am I getting? Is it hemp oil or is it CBD oil? Is it hemp seed oil? What the hell is the difference between all of it? You know, can I have any side effects from it? You know, how much should it cost? It's not well defined, that marketplace.
And am I going to get popped on a drug screen?
Yeah.
Or use of right, THC?
Exactly. It says right. No THC, but is there going to be THC? What is THC? Is this actual marijuana?
Like, right.
That's so. It has not. There's not been a place for education. There's not been a place that they can come buy it and know what they're getting. And so I knew that if I birthed a company that reflected Louisiana traditional culture, that provided the education, that provided the marketplace for the confidence and transparency, and then we add in being an icon for advocacy, I think if you couple all of those together, mm-hmm. you make it best for the consumer, which is what this is all about.
Yeah.
You know?
So we were kind of mentioning just a second ago, if you take CBD, will you be popped with, you know, being in, under the influence or having marijuana in your system? So one of my questions I have is, if I buy CBD online, which my wife, a couple months back, she went online. She was like, you know, I heard that CBD can help with anxiety. She's, you know, wanted to curb that, kind of like you were saying. And I was like, you know, I'm pretty sure they have it on Amazon because I didn't know of anybody here that sold mm-hmm. it. And I feel weird going into a shop that was kind of like tucked away. I'm like, it's not my gig.
Correct.
And so
it's not inviting to you. Yeah.
So we found something online. I forget what it's called, but it was expensive. It was not over $100, but it was in between 30 and 80. It was somewhere in that range.
More than you wanted to spend on an experiment.
Look, I said, look, if you have to try it, fine. If it works and you can see a big difference, maybe we'll try it again and like see if the kind of the results happen, the same results. And so we got it. And she had a month's worth, and I said, so do you feel like it worked? She goes, I think it worked. Like, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
And so.
Because, you know, she doesn't know what she's looking for.
Right. Right. And it's we don't even know if it was quality CBD. The bottle looked pretty. The packaging was pretty.
Did it say CBD or did it say hemp?
I think it said CBD. Like,
and well, that, I think that's one of the issues that
I'd like to
that
touch
I've
on
seen
that too.
With the politicians that have spoken about this, that one of their concerns is we don't know what we're getting.
Yeah,
it's not a very well regulated industry at this point.
Correct.
And folks like you might think they're getting one thing and get another.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the concern there, but and I'll let you continue on this. But I think. Additional regulation would be good, okay, for the industry as a whole.
Regulation is not bad. I'm against over-regulation.
Absolutely.
But
I'm with you.
I think regulations are good. You know, you have to have some sort of, you know, control. So what were you going to say, Travis?
Well, no, that's what this whole thing has been about, you know, before I even opened was who's putting out notices and interpreting the law for us mm-hmm. and who are we relying on to interpret that law and not mislead us. Do they have a hidden agenda? Is a regulatory agency being pushed or lobbied by another regulatory committee? Mm-hmm. Is one lobbying the other because of money or for the safety of the people?
And that's all speculation.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's all speculation. Now, on your...
Which leads to us why we do need regulation.
Yeah.
Because proper regulation could avoid the wrong agencies interpreting law and causing confusion between consumers and business owners alike.
So, kind of touching on this, one of the things that I saw in the articles that I kept that kept surfacing, especially with your case, was the state of Louisiana has no definition but difference between hemp and marijuana. Mm-hmm. So there's that issue. Other states, and I think majority of the federal government has made that distinction. Well,
the federal government has. It's what's commonly called the Farm Bill.
Yeah, there you go.
It was passed December 20th of 2018 by Trump. Well, not passed by Trump.
You were talking about is the state standard of what is marijuana. Okay.
Right.
And that's really what I wanted to touch on in this podcast is CBD, in my view, or my opinion, their trouble right now is twofold, okay? One, we have a definitional problem in this state, okay? The Uniform Controlled Dangerous Substance Law, okay? That's printed out here, and obviously we're not going to go through it line by line, but if you look at the definition of marijuana, it is defined more or less as anything that is derived from the genus plant of cannabis, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And any part of the plant thereof, any derivative, any oils, any anything, okay? And CBD just happens to be part of that, okay? And so hemp is too. It's all the same genus of plant, okay?
Yeah.
Although hemp is not going to get you high,
mm-hmm.
okay? I'm not an expert in the science of it, okay? And,
yeah,
I'm giving an opinion here,
yep.
okay? But I think, okay, I could probably get higher by breathing deeply in this room, although there's nothing in it but clean air, than I would if I smoked hemp, okay?
Right.
Because there's just no THC in it, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Or very little. But
correct.
The Farm Bill has allowed a 0.3% level of THC in the hemp plant for it to be considered hemp, okay? And that's federally. However, the state law, like you said, doesn't differentiate. It doesn't allow a level of THC, and that's kind of the second problem that CBD is having, or CBD products, we'll say, is having in this state. Because from what I understand, and maybe you can speak to this better, but some CBD products, I'll characterize it as, have trace levels of THC. They may be minuscule, 0.000001.
Yeah, but a police officer's test would be able to pick it up.
Possible. I don't know that. Okay, I can't speak to that. But what I'm saying is, even if you're possessing 0.0001% of THC, you're possessing marijuana.
8%, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And therefore subject to prosecution.
That's so crazy. So back to buying online. So if I buy CBD, anything online, am I at risk of being potentially raided? Like, let's say I have it in my home or in my car because I go to work. And let's say I have anxiety. I'm popping CBD gummies. I say popping loosely. I know that's a bad term. But I'm popping CBD gummies, all right? Like, if I get pulled over and the police officer sees CBD gummies in my console, is he going to take me out and, like, pat me down?
In my humble legal opinion, you are possessing marijuana in the state of Louisiana.
God.
Just because of the definition problem.
Yeah, by Louisiana standards, you literally have, you could have a whole marijuana plant growing in your car at that case, right?
Well, I'm not going to go that far, but all I'm saying is the uniform.
The charges will be almost the same.
Basically.
I can account to that.
That's right. You can be charged with possession with intent to distribute marijuana.
Because of CBD.
Because of CBD. Absolutely.
Now, one of the problems, though, touching on what y'all had said about it being detectable or non-detectable. So there are, on these third-party testing, when you have a third-party test facility conduct a test on your cannabis product, and it returns the cannabinoid profile, which is what you look for to determine the levels of a product, they have limits of quantification
mm-hmm.
that the machine will read. So sometimes it's 0.3, sometimes it's 0.03, and it's what that machine will pick up. So regardless of the machine used, all products that I bring into our store register non-detectable on all the machines and all the tests that are given. So what that means for that machine is it's non-detectable, and what it should mean is it should not be detectable. If the law enforcement comes in and they test the product, it should be non-detectable. So it has been removed to the point where it is not detectable on the machine, or through the through the testing, and there are, you know, that's where the almost decriminalization has also come in. As long as it hasn't had THC, then it's good. I think even one of our regulatory agencies said that in around February, it might have said something to the effect of, as long as it has 0%, it's legal.
I'm not going to interpret what they said.
If I can remember properly, that's one of the first things that they said. And so, but that's what the decriminalization has been that has allowed people to have it, because it's like, oh, it's federally illegal, but there's still that. So the problem is, let's say you have a pure CBD and they're going to test it, and it's not going to test positive, but it's not going to test positive for THC, because that's what they're looking for. That's what field tests.
Or at least, according to the packaging that you bought, it won't test.
Correct.
Right?
It won't test, yeah.
But here's one of the issues, and this is just a I don't want to say a counterpoint, but a point of information, that even if that labeling says this contains no THC, period, it's THC-free, okay? I mean, in fact, the sodas say that. I know you can't see that, I apologize, but mistake of fact or mistake of law is not a defense.
Correct.
Okay. And so while you and I may rely on the packaging that says 0% THC, well, what if in fact it has 0.4% THC and the instrument that tested that soda, the range was such that it didn't pick up?
Correct.
Okay.
That limit.
Yeah, they can make that claim that it's 0% THC, but in fact it does have some, and therefore a mistake of fact on my part isn't a defense to any criminal prosecution.
Okay. So
see, that's why I put on my labels, which caused controversy, is on my labels for my brand, even though our tests come back non-detectable ND, that I still put on my labels may contain trace amounts of THC, because I don't want someone to use my product. My tests are showing non-detectable. They come back claiming they got fired because they tested positive for THC. Mm-hmm. And I can't. So I think that may have been a reason that also, because no other products have that. These products that say no THC, no THC, no THC. But I put that on mine just because I wanted to, you know, cover my butt, and I have the right to do that. Put everything, which means you can put anything you want on a label, is what is going, what you said, that's true. And going, you're touching on using this as a defense of law. Would it be proper to say that because it's federally distinguished, is that a defense in state law?
No, not to a state law. I mean, certainly you can bring it up,
and I think it's
and folks
people,
will, okay? But the problem
say,
is state law is what you're going to be charged with. The state of Louisiana, through, for instance, the 15th Judicial District Attorney's Office in Lafayette, mm-hmm. is going to use the state law to prosecute you, not federal law, because that's not their mandate.
So the supremacy clause, so let's clear this up for people, because I know a lot of people have this misinterpretation, because I know I do. You can see it online when people are commenting on local arrests. They're saying, well, it's federally legal. That means it's legal in all states. Let's clear it up real quick.
Sure.
Between federal and state law, you have a federal law. You can states can have a more stringent, they cannot have a less stringent.
That's correct. So without getting into a constitutional law class here, essentially what you said is correct, that where the federal law regulates, the state can't enact a law that is less stringent, but they can enact a law that is more stringent.
Which
in
is
this
what
case.
They did with recreational marijuana.
That's correct, but it's still illegal federally. Right. So the states like California or Washington,
right.
That's why, yes, they won't be prosecuted in the state, okay? But if, for instance, the federal government wanted to come in and prosecute, they could, okay?
Right. Actually, that's what that is right there. That's the Cole Memorandum, which was issued in 2013.
Right.
During the Obama administration, saying, hey, if I think the Department of Justice issued it saying, hey, if these distributors of marijuana mm-hmm. are following state law, feds, in order to preserve their resources, will not prosecute those.
And that's what the bigwigs, I'll call them, have the option to do, okay? The Attorney General has the right to prosecute or direct his agency to prosecute what he thinks is most important, he or she, and that's kind of what you're seeing right there.
So this is all good stuff, because I'm kind of like learning it a little bit, because, you know, I'm always trying to keep my ears open to learning. So it's interesting to hear that federally, whatever is issued, the states cannot have a less stringent version of the federal law, right? Is that what I'm understanding?
Maybe I misspoke. Okay. What I'm saying is, even though a state may pass a less stringent law, it doesn't make it legal.
Okay.
Okay. Because still federally, it's
illegal.
They can
do it. Yeah. Which is what they've done with recreational marijuana. Mm-hmm. Recreational marijuana is federally illegal.
That's right.
But that's what's unique about this, is more than just cannabis. And all the way down to the parish level, which is so exciting, is because the people are making this change. Because the federal government's saying, this is illegal, the law of the land across the entire United States, this is illegal. Well, 2012, two states made it legal. Said, you know what, federal government, we're going against you. This is what we want. This is what we're going to get. And we're going to put it on the ballot. And they made it legal on the state level in 2012 for Washington and Colorado. That was a huge pivot point. Because now what? That opens precedent, that changes precedent. Now it allows states. So think about this. This is so unique. For states to overturn federal law, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the Senate needs 60% of the states to overturn a federal law. 60% of 50 is 30. So we need 30 states to take it to the federal level to overturn federal law, being the Controlled Substances Act. That makes marijuana federally illegal. 33 states have it legal medically. If those 33 states took it to the Supreme Court for the Senate or whatever, I might have misspoke there, but if they take it to the right...
Sorry.
If they take it to the right person, we can overturn federal law. So there's 33 states for it legal medically, and there's 10 states plus D.C. that makes it adult use legal. So we're definitely seeing that moment. It's not a movement anymore. It's a moment. It's momentum. So it's moving.
I don't think anybody's questioning the momentum or the path of which marijuana and cannabis and all that stuff is headed. I think ultimately, in my, I guess, perception of this, in the next 10 years, if Louisiana has not moved past where we are now, other states around us are going to blow past us,
and we're gonna fall last on.
We fall last on a lot of areas. One of your customers in here was like, "We're number last."
Yeah,
like that's not a number. We're number last.
Very good.
But it's true. You know, we lead the nation at the bottom in education. And during this cannabis journey, I realize, and I didn't know this, and a lot of listeners may not know this, but in Louisiana, we are one of 24 states that do not allow initiatives or referendums. So let's say that those ATC letters came out and prevented me from opening my store. Well, my goal quickly switched from, well, if it's a state law preventing me from doing it, my best friend just got his pilot's license, and he's trying to get ours. So we'll fly all over the state and get signatures, and I'll just get 1 million voter signatures, and I'll just put it on the ballot, and we'll just make it legal. Louisiana is one of 24 states. You can't do that. Everything has to be done by calling your representative.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's why I was saying this is not only at a federal level is this bigger than cannabis, because we have a movement happening, but at the parish level and at the state level, we're figuring out how to make legislation happen, not just with cannabis, but anything else that we want. This is the process we follow. If you go talk to someone, the chances are someone with a voting right, a citizen, legal, everything, the chances of them knowing the process of legislation in Louisiana is very slim. They're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know who to call. I don't even know who my representative is. I don't even know what a state represents. They don't know.
Well, and that probably goes to the education point you were making. We're leading from the bottom in that category.
We need to change.
Or at least near the bottom.
It's time to change.
I know that flip-flops a little bit.
Right.
It's time for change. I know. I'm sure some presidential candidate has taken that, but it's really true.
Every presidential candidate, I think, has said time for change.
And just to kind of to expand on your point, that at least the House so far, the state House of Representatives has passed a bill.
Correct.
That addresses, it's House Bill 491, okay? That addresses CBD, hemp as well, that they've tried to bring the state into the federal law. I guess you want to say the federal law limits. So they're making hemp a thing. They're making levels of THC acceptability. They're making labeling requirements and restrictions.
Which is good. I think it's all good.
And they're also introducing criminal and civil penalties for failure to adhere to this law should it be passed. The Senate's still got to consider this, and of course Governor Edwards still has to sign it into law.
Correct.
But with the overwhelming passage of this in the House, I really don't see that it doesn't pass in the Senate, and I certainly
it
don't think Governor
Edwards more.
Right. Literally couldn't have passed any easier.
So from, I guess from what I'm understanding is that what just passed, what you're talking about, is basically allowing people like Travis to pursue businesses such as this?
That's correct.
Okay.
It also allows for the cultivation of hemp, correct? 491?
Yes.
I'm not an expert on it. There's other people that definitely know more than me. I've been focusing a lot on the storefront and the business, so I would like to know more about the exact laws and legislation. But
well, and I can give this to you if you want to put it on your website for viewers. But
But I think it's
and that's subject to change, of course, because the Senate still has to review, make amendments if they deem it necessary. And
right.
The governor can either veto or pass.
This is all true. Yeah. So okay. I think a lot of people are though learning the way to do it. And so what we're gonna do is continue to build on it this year. We might not get the laws that we want, the exact things, but it's a step. And then next year, in my opinion, federally cannabis legalization will be federally legal within the next year.
Before the 2020 for the 2020 election, before the next 2020 election, I believe that's going to be one of our candidates' touching points is to legalize that, and I think that'll happen either before or at that point.
Well, with what 23 Democratic candidates coming out to face President Trump, they're going to have to do something to stick out. So I don't doubt that you may be
and
right.
If President
there.
Trump steals it from him, I wouldn't be surprised.
Let's not get into politics.
Right.
I believe it'll be federally legal soon, and that will just further accelerate.
I believe it's that pretty soon too, because there's such, like you said, momentum, and there's so much that it's snowballing and it's just getting bigger, and moves need to be made. But it's still there's still like this process that the states have to go through, obviously, because this is all, like, I'm not a law professional, and I'm thinking, federally, as a citizen, it's legal.
But so then you're good to go.
Yeah, like, I hear federally legal, I'm like, great, I'm going out there. Like, like the movie The Purge, like, if they said, you know, The Purge is legal federally, you can, you know, one night out of the year, you can go and kill somebody. I'm like, great, federally, but the state says, we're not jiving with it. Yeah. I'm like, well.
All that really means is it's going to be a different agency knocking on your door.
Right,
okay,
right.
It won't be the DEA. Right. It may be the police, the sheriff, okay?
Right,
it may be the city police. Who knows what it may be, but that's right.
Law is just so interesting, and that's why I'm glad, Jordan, that we have you, because I am no person to talk to about law, and everybody needs.
It's complex.
It is very complex. I mean, obviously, that's why there's so many attorneys. Like, it's a very needed profession, and people need guidance. And by no means, again, this is not anything that you should take legal advice from. If you want to talk to Jordan, he does have a website. I think it's what is it? PrettLawFirm.com?
That's right.
So,
and I have a strange name. It's PRECHT.
Yeah.
German influence. So there you go.
On our Facebook post, we'll put it on there, and on the website, I'll have it there as well. And Cajun Cannabis, you can't mistake that. You probably have seen it driving by, going to get your coffee, and you're wondering.
Margarita at La Fonda, of course.
Right. There. Yeah, getting a margarita at La Fonda, then you're looking over and like, oh, there's people getting high over there? No, absolutely not. But so I think I have just a couple more questions, and I want to wrap this up. because I think we talked about a good bit. You guys went over a good bit of stuff, and there's still so much that
yeah, we're scratching the surface here. Yeah. And one thing that I know you want to ask a question, but I'm uniquely interested in, if I might ask a question
sure.
for Travis, is, you know, is CBD going to get me crazy or high or something? And I think I know the answer to that, but I'd like your input.
Yeah, give me 2 seconds.
Really 2 seconds, quick. Sure.
Yeah.
Somebody's at your door?
Yeah.
He's Cajun Cannabis is busy still somehow.
This business is operating as we speak.
Yes, so pardon our moment here. It looks like my
yeah, she I wanted to let that person she's okay to come in.
Okay.
Going to that, I can speak on a little bit about who this actually is. We don't have to get her in or anything. But one of the marketing things that we, and I'll touch on what you just said,
mm-hmm.
but one of the marketing things that we're going to go after, instead of trying to do the traditional marketing where we go out and we advertise and try and pay for all this advertising, we're going to have affiliates that represent our products, and then they just lead them to us, and then we just pay, you know, like a commission or mm-hmm. whatever out to them. And I think that will be better to, you know, I furnish these products to people, get them to believe in it first. I'm not just trying to say, hey, pay them to represent this, you know, false advertisement. But I want them to have the products and then be able to represent us. Not only public figures, but also terminally ill people that, or not terminally ill, but life-threatening or whatever it may be, medicinal mm-hmm. cases. We want to, those testimonies as well, and those that representation too, because it can help everyone from your student all the way to your elder person that's experiencing, whether it be neuropathic disorders or skin conditions, stomach conditions, anxiety. I mean, and I also kind of wanted to touch on kind of how cannabis works real quick.
Sure.
Because you asked about CBD. You want to go ahead and ask that question?
Well, and I guess my point was that I don't want people to be confused that CBD is THC, and that if I ingest a CBD gummy, that I'm going to somehow go bonkers like the 1950s, you know, marijuana video.
Right.
I don't believe that's how it works, but I'm not an expert. I just want you to explain that.
I think that's a great way to go into how it works. So I think we kind of touched on, because people hear marijuana, they hear hemp and cannabis. So really quick, the difference is I like to explain it as it's like dogs. You know, you have a dachshund, you have a Great Dane. They're two different dogs, but they're both a dog and they can both breed together. And so that's how hemp and marijuana. So cannabis is like the dog, and then we bred cannabis to grow small bushy plants inside, you know, called marijuana that have high yield. But then we also bred this cannabis plant to grow outside long stalks that we can use for the fiber and the pulp, and we industrialized hemp. So we bred, so cannabis is such a versatile plant, and the only difference between them federally that's been distinguished is the Farm Bill of 2018 that was passed that formally, and the only thing that distinguishes the hemp from the marijuana is just the level of THC in it. If the THC has more than 0.3% THC, it's considered marijuana. If you had an immature marijuana and hemp plant in front of you, you could not tell the difference.
Okay.
It's the same plant. And so we so all of our products are hemp based. And so real quick, the way it happens is, you know, you've been seeing things like on Amazon, they only have you won't find a product called CBD. Mm-hmm. You'll see hemp.
Okay.
And
I'm gonna have to look back at the product that we bought.
It might have been CBD, but I'll tell you this, since a lot of the stuff has happened legally, a lot of places have pulled off CBD and they've just changed label to hemp oil. Okay? And it's not lying, because it comes from hemp. But the problem is, and that this has been very exploited, is that you can have hemp seed oil. And sometimes that's mistaken for oil. Sometimes it's deliberately mistaken for it, which means people are selling hemp seed oil as CBD hemp oil.
Okay.
And I'll explain the difference real quick. Let's say you have a bunch of seeds, a gallon of seeds to plant outside. You put those gallons, you take them, you press them, kind of like olives, and you get like olive oil. You press these seeds and you get hemp seed oil, right? Non-cannabinated. There are no cannabinoids in that oil. It is a hemp seed oil with omegas, omegas 3s and 6s and 9s. So you can use that as a cooking oil. You can use that as a carrier oil. That's your hemp seed oil. To get CBD oil, you have to take the seed. You have to grow the seed. You have to make sure it has no pesticide. It doesn't mildew. It doesn't have any pests. You grow the plant. You take care of it. It blooms. You take that flower, right? You run a solvent over it, be it ethanol, butane, water, CO2. You run a solvent over the product, over the plant material. You extract all the essential oils. You discard the plant material, and then you're left with a gooey extract that is a cannabinated extract from the plant, but it also has the solvents. So then at that point, you have to extract the solvents by baking it off, gas chromatography to get all the THC out, but you get out, not only do you get all the solvents, your butane, your ethanol, whatever, you get all your solvents out, but you also want to test the cannabinoid profile to make sure you didn't destroy the cannabinoid profile during that process as well. It's a very expensive process. And then once you have that extract, pure extract with no solvent, then you need to infuse it with a hemp seed oil or a coconut oil, or you infuse it into a product, right? And then that's your end product.
Like a soda.
Sorry, or a CBD oil. And then that's your end product. So that CBD oil, that end product that's gone through that whole manufacturing process, is not the same as a hemp seed oil. But a lot of people will just take the seed out, will have hemp oil,
okay,
and sell it as CBD oil. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of confusion has come also, is what is the difference between hemp oil and CBD oil? Is it, and I mean, you can call CBD oil hemp oil, it's just, it can be very misleading in a lot of different ways. And that was another goal of Cajun Cannabis, was to, we're not gonna hide behind some name of something ducked off in a corner somewhere. No, we're going to be on Johnson Street. We're going to have the logo. We're going to have the name. People ask me, did you not want to name it something else besides cannabis?
And that was one of my questions. Because Jordan and I were kind of just talking over the phone before we did the episode. And we were like, he might as well have just called it Rate Me at this point. Like, so I don't want to. I was going to ask a question, and I'll pass on that particular question.
Well, now I want another question.
It's police involved, raid involved, and I don't want
to. Okay, we can leave that out to a later day, later time.
Yeah, leave that out. Kind of wrapping it up here because we're getting close to 50 minutes. What do you make of other area businesses in town that essentially sell CBD products? So, not to name names, but one right down the road from here, big sign, CBD sold here. Mm-hmm. Like, but they didn't get raided.
No, and it's funny because they may or may not have a license issued by a certain agency that states explicitly they can't do that. But
it's neither here nor there.
Yeah, but the point about it is that I am targeted for.
I mean, your name is pretty bold.
Right.
Let's just be honest.
Well, here's the deal. Well, it's not that it's bold. It's the point of Cajun Cannabis is to destigmatize it.
Correct, yeah. I mean,
there's no one in the parish in the past 2 weeks that hasn't heard or uttered the words cannabis.
I get the what you're doing. I mean, it's making it.
Well, see, I asked people. I went downtown, and I went to different places in Lafayette with my products and with my name, with my logo, and I asked a variety of people.
I love the logo, by the way. I mean, it's a great logo.
It's exactly what it is. We're infusing the cannabis with Louisiana culture. Okay. You know, I knew exactly what I wanted when I got the logo, and I told my guy what I wanted. When I told my guy what I wanted, he did a fantastic job with it. But I wanted to
I thought that was the police. Oh my god! Here we go.
I don't think he's here.
No. Maybe he's here to get something.
Maybe his family
done.
Needs some CBD oil.
All right, so continue. Sorry.
Unless you made a game violation on your ethic.
Yeah, I know, right?
We were talking about the name and being bold.
So I asked people, I said, do you think I should name it cannabis? I asked older people that, and I asked younger. They're like, no, we want to know what it is. Don't name it something and obscure it. You're just, if I ducked this business off somewhere
and obscured the name, I am contributing to the stigma. I'm saying, hey, what the stigma that y'all are living by right now, I am okay with that. And I'm not.
Okay.
Because this should be a cannabis store where you can bring your kids in and let them play. You bring your grandma in, let her have some gummies or arthritis cream, whatever, however she's feeling. And then you can come over here and you can get educated about cannabis and find what you want. And that was my goal, to break the stigma. I didn't know that it was going to be thrust into the spotlight as soon as it did. Did I know? Did I understand the risks? Of course I did.
Yeah,
I knew
that was a possibility. That was going to be one of my questions. I mean, if you understood, you had to have understood that there was a
and
level.
You know, it's funny. People are like, "Man, I'm so sorry that happened to you." I'm like, "Don't be." Like, they're like, "Oh, I'm sure it must have been hard for you in jail." And let me just, I want to touch on that real quick. The way how I think about, how I feel about that, because I was in jail for 5 days or whatever. You know. Whatever, I'm in jail, I had a toilet, and I had a roof over my head, and I had 3 meals a day, and I wasn't tortured. So it's funny, the first day I got to jail, I went searching for a book, because I needed something, because I realized, I was like, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I need $40,000 minimum to get out of here, you know? I had less than half that in total net worth. Right. You know, actually, I was probably I'm probably negative, but... So I found this book, it was on the first day, and it was called Man's Search for Meaning. And I knew I wanted to read it just by the title, because I'm sitting here in jail with 18 stacked charges. Maybe I need to search for my meaning. You know?
You start to reflect real quick.
Look within.
Yeah, let me start here. Yeah. So I grabbed that book. It was Man's Search for Meaning. I decided I was going to read it before I even opened the book and saw what it was about. So then I started reading it that night. And it was about a psychiatrist who went to the Nazi concentration camps, who experienced it and was a survivor. And the book was about his accounts and his experience of that. And so I'm sitting there in jail with clothes. I can shower. I'm not tortured. I have food, 3 meals a day, you know.
Puts it in perspective.
Yeah, with the TV. Plus they have tablets in jail.
What?
I can watch movies. I can play Sudoku, I can watch music videos, I can stream live music on the little tablet. Now, there's only two of them in the whole pod, and they can get a little territorial. But the fact is that they
We're talking
them.
About being in jail.
Yeah,
here,
jail
guys.
Is not a place you want to be, folks.
Right.
I'm just telling
correct.
You.
But I'll tell you this, reading that book and seeing the things that they had to suffer through.
All right.
And then I'm sitting here reading my tablet. I was like, jail, it was not that bad. It puts it in perspective. I'm like, these people are getting tortured and murdered and killed.
Yeah,
and
no doubt.
Living in their feces, in their their urine. And I'm over here, and I'm just...
You have basically a cushy jail cell.
I'll tell you this.
If you're on a tablet, look, you're
that's
cushy.
That's what got me through. Like, that's what got me through so easily. People are like, oh, man, I'm sure it was pretty bad on there. I'm like, well, it was worse in Germany.
Right.
Like, so it really made it... And the people in jail knew who I was because we have a TV in there, so I was on... I was
every
top news
TV,
story
yeah.
every night.
Right.
So
I mean,
they knew who everyone
that might
knew
have been really
was.
Good for your business ultimately, right? I mean, is that
absolutely.
What you're getting at?
Yeah. So we're going to close with that. So essentially, what you have done by not hiding in a corner, not watering down the name, and I don't know you personally from this, just from your business. I posted about it, and that was it. But
yeah,
essentially, what you are doing. That I think other people are kind of skirting around is you're being so, I guess, bold enough to put yourself at risk because you said you understood the risk. And what has happened is you got put into a spotlight. Now, it may not have been the preferred method of spotlight, but
right.
you got put into a spotlight.
Right.
And good press, bad press is all press nonetheless.
Right.
And now there's I guess good movement. And I'm pretty sure this 491 House bill
that's a huge
was
step.
Already in place before your case.
Yes, it actually passed the lower chamber on Thursday that I was booked
right.
on the 25th.
But but you going through what you're going through, and you know now it's just being talked about. Like so many more people are talking about it. Like
correct.
You're posting about your business for my website. My numbers on my website were the biggest they have ever been. Because the just the name Cajun Cannabis, that's cannabis period, had so many people coming out of the woodworks wanting to know, man, Louisiana has something to do with cannabis? Like, what is going on?
What is going on?
So they didn't
know. Is it legal? Is it illegal?
There was a lot of questions. Huge thing.
Yeah, because when that was introduced in March 20th, which is a month before I opened, it's kind of a great opportunity because everyone pulled it off the shelves because they didn't know what the ATC was talking about. Mm-hmm. They were fearful of the ATC coming in here and citing people, and people didn't know if they could do that or not. It's a law enforcement agency. They can do whatever they want to enforce the law, but they can't cite people that don't have an alcohol or tobacco license. And that's the thing. If I don't have a license and I'm selling a tobacco product, which is like a vaporizer, mm-hmm. and I don't have a license, they can come cite me for that because I am against. If I have an ATC license and I'm selling those things, and then the ATC comes in there and they see you selling CBD, they have said, hey, we're not okay with the sale of CBD. And that could lead to trouble. But I think that as far as it being a big step for the city is that people were selling it. There were spas selling it. There were other people selling it. So when that notice came out, a lot of those retailers pulled it off the shelf.
Yeah.
So in March, people are calling me. They're like, dude, you still opening on the 20th? Yeah, I am. What about everything that's going on? Well, we're moving forward. Like, there's other people doing it. I shouldn't not be able to do it just because I am so bold about it, you know? I shouldn't be picked on just because I'm on Johnson Street, just because of the name, just because of the logo, just because of my marketing initiatives. That should not, you know, but it does. And that's the problem that people are having is the law being equally applied throughout the state?
Well, we can't really speak on that because that is a matter of perception of, you know, mm-hmm. demographic and, you know, location. That's all to that point. But I think what you did, man, it's so bold, whether it was a good decision or a bad decision. Hopefully, I think that if it leads to the legalization of CBD, like we're talking like it's some bad thing, even though technically to Louisiana it's a Schedule I drug. And you could be charged as a...
it's on the same level as what, opioids and meth?
It's on the same level of every Schedule I. Like, it's a narcotic.
It's a narcotic. Schedule I is essentially... The worst. There is no medical use for such a thing.
Right. So I think if it moves to such a way that it legalizes it, even whether it had anything to do with you in the spotlight that you were put under, I think it's a good thing. I think... having this kind of brought to light and talking about it, because that's what I wanted to do with this, and this was by no means a way for promotion. I didn't want to come out and just blankly promote you, and that's why I also had Jordan here, who's an attorney, to just kind of keep a level playing ground. So we just have a conversation about CBD, and you know there are some claimed benefits, not studied benefits yet, mm-hmm. to CBD, at least according to what I've understood.
Right,
but I think it's a good thing, and if it's not killing anybody, and if it does actually help people with certain medical conditions, whether you want to get off of medication or not, that's up to you. You know, that's something you and your doctor needs to talk about. I think it's a good thing. I think if it doesn't need to be illegal, if there's no reason for it to be illegal, if it's not hurting anybody, then I think we should just move past it and ultimately legalize it, as long as the proper channels are taken. And you took a channel. I think that's interesting. So, yeah, man. I mean, what do you think is the future? I mean, do you think we'll see it in the next couple of years or sooner?
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, I think it'll be before the 2020 election.
Is that CBD or is that recreational or adult use? Sorry,
yeah, full blown adult use. I think,
not in the state of Louisiana, right?
Yeah, actually, I mean, no, I believe it'll be federally.
Yeah. Federally, I think it was...
Federally, easier. Adult use cannabis will be legal by 2020, November, even before that, in my opinion. Will Louisiana prove that we can move past this stagnant way of changing laws?
Let's get out of number last of education first.
Yeah. I'm hoping that we can... And see, that's another thing when I started Cajun Cannabis is that I didn't want us to wait another 5 or 10 years... to move forward legislation. Let's do it in 5 or 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, let's see this now. You know, to be honest, I didn't even know that the sessions for legislation started in April until this.
Right.
So this has been a learning opportunity more than cannabis. Yeah. And I think that's what's very important
is to, this is just more than just the cannabis. This is a way for us to change things that we want. But at the same time, cannabis is very big because it does have healing properties, you know, with THC or without THC. I prefer THC with the product as well. And it's been funny because I've had people been like, you know what? I like the hemp plant. I like the CBD, but the marijuana, the THC, I'm kind of still iffy about. And I'm thinking in my head, the only thing difference between the cannabis and the hemp and marijuana is just the THC, you know, and that's your quarterback of your football team. So, but I'll take it. We'll start with the CBD and the hemp. And I think that's what's important about moving this movement to the full-blown legalization is hemp and CBD is one of those factors that'll help change the understanding of people saying, hey, this is not going to be a negative asset. I mean, a negative liability. People aren't going to go get their CBD and get drunken off the CBD and start having wrecks and crime and all kind of stuff. Like, come on. Like, mm-hmm. No, that's, you know, gotcha. People are, come by and hang out a day and you see who comes to these doors.
It's all types of people. I mean, we've seen a couple already. We're at an hour, and I want to respect people's time because it doesn't take an hour to drive through Lafayette unless you're in a wreck.
or on
Ambassador at lunchtime, right. Or on a Saturday. Good grief. Jordan Precht.
That's correct, yes.
Thank you for being on. Travis DeYoung, thank you for allowing us to do this podcast.
Absolutely.
And I'm hoping that if anything from this, people can just start to kind of do their own research and, you know, talk to your doctor and talk to whoever. And if hopefully in the future, the path moves along where your doctor will say, you know what, CBD may be a good thing for you. And your doctor's maybe already doing that. That's not my place to get into. But, so this was a good conversation. And,
thanks for having us. I appreciate you.
Travis. Absolutely. And we're going to go ahead and close this out. Guys, this was The Tea, and you can find it on iTunes. We'll post it on our website. In a couple of days here, so
am I able to add one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead. Add one more thing.
So I believe it's the second Saturday. Check with on our Facebook page. We will be having a pro legalization family gathering event with open house and plate lunches and bouncy houses. I'll be looking for that around the second weekend of June.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you go, guys.
Something to look forward to.
All right. Well, y'all have a good rest of your day on Facebook, and we'll head on out.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate both y'all's time.
Absolutely. You too.
For information on sponsoring the Tea Podcast by Developing Lafayette, go to our website at developinglafayette.com and click advertise.